Blog Talk Radio.
Very good. for memorare, and boy, do we need that today. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever in the world you are. You're enjoying the Catholic Defenders, Novena to the Holy Spirit, all the way through Pentecost, which occurs on May the 28th. We have a lot to pray for. Tonight at midnight, Title 42 expires, and it's going to be a mess down at our southern border. So we need to pray that our leaders receive divine wisdom and the courage to follow it. The Mass is a source of the purpose, the passion, and the power. God the Father is the purpose, God the Son is the passion, and God the Holy Spirit is the power. The God of heaven comes to us in his Eucharistic presence. Jesus is truly present in body, blood, soul, and divinity. Holy Spirit, Lord of light, from your clear celestial height, your pure beaming radiance give, the Holy Spirit. Only one thing is important, and that's eternal salvation. My script is falling off the screen. There it is. Only one thing, therefore, is to be feared, and that's sin. Sin is a result of ignorance, weakness, and indifference. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of light, of strength, and of love. With his sevenfold gifts, he enlightens the mind, strengthens the will, and inflames the heart with love of God. To ensure our salvation, we ought to invoke the Holy Spirit daily, for the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. We know not what we should pray for, as we ought, but the Spirit himself asketh for us. Almighty and eternal God, who has vouchsafed to regenerate us by water in the Holy Spirit, and has given us forgiveness of all sins, vouchsafe to send forth from heaven upon us your sevenfold Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and fortitude, the Spirit of knowledge and piety, and fill us with the Spirit of holy fear. Amen. On my knees before the great multitude of heavenly witnesses, I offer myself, soul and body, to you, eternal Spirit of God. I adore the brightness of your purity, the unerring keenness of your justice, and the might of your love. You are the strength and light of my soul. In you I live and move and am. I desire, therefore, never to grieve you by unfaithfulness to grace, and pray with all my heart to be kept from the smallest sin against you. Mercifully guard my every thought and grant that I may always watch for your light and listen to your voice and follow your gracious inspirations. I cling to you and I give myself to you and ask you by your compassion to watch over me in my weakness. Holding the pierced feet of Jesus and looking at his five wounds and trusting in his precious blood and adoring his open side and stricken heart, I implore you, adorable Spirit, helper of my infirmity, to keep me in your grace that I may never sin against you. Give me grace. O Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Father and the Son, I to say to you always and everywhere, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, who before ascending into heaven did promise to send the Holy Spirit to finish your work in the souls of your apostles and disciples, deign to grant the same Holy Spirit to me, that he may perfect in my soul the work of your grace and your love. Grant me the spirit of wisdom, that I may despise the perishable things of this world and aspire only after the things which are eternal. The spirit of understanding to enlighten my mind with the light of your divine truth. The spirit of counsel, that I may ever choose the surest way of pleasing God and gaining heaven. The spirit of fortitude, that I may bear my cross with you and that I may overcome with courage all the obstacles that oppose my salvation. The spirit of knowledge, that I may know God and know myself and grow perfect in the service of the saints. In the spirit of piety, that I may find the service of God sweet and amiable, and the spirit of fear, that I may be filled with a loving reverence towards God and may dread in any way to displease him. Mark me, O dear Lord, with the sign of your true disciples, and imitate me in all things with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lady of Pompeii Novena. Our Lady of Pompeii is a title given to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Devotion to Our Lady in Pompeii began in Pompeii, Italy in the late 1800s. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of your mother. Help us always to turn to her as mother in all of our needs. Our Lady of Pompeii, devotion to you spread among the people of the Valley of Pompeii. After Bartolongo began to spread devotion to the rosary. The veneration of your image and the people's recourse to your powerful intercession brought many graces and so much good to the church at Pompeii. Please bring all of our petitions before the throne of your Son, and we particularly ask today that you pray for the church. Pray for us that we may grow in devotion to God and in willingness to serve his church. Pray that we may advance in the holiness and virtue each day of our lives. The Church of Our Lady of Pompeii was built between 1876 and 1891. Between 1934 and 1939, the Basilica of Our Lady of Pompeii was built. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of your mother. Help us always to turn to her as a mother in all of our needs. Our Lady of Pompeii, you look out for the good of all people in your motherly love. You want all of us to turn to you with our needs so that you may bring our needs before your Son. Through our devotion and the prayer of the Holy Rosary, you can help us in all that we seek. Please bring all of our petitions before the throne of your Son. And we particularly ask today that you pray that we and all people may grow in devotion to the Holy Rosary. Pray for us that we may grow in love of God each day. Pray that we may be eager to make a use of every help God gives us on our journey to heaven. We pray for America, for our Constitution, for those suffering addictions and those in bondage, for those who need deliverance. We pray for the Catholic Church, with Pope Francis and all the clergy. Our Lady of Pompeii, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Catholic Defender, the 15 promises of Our Lady gave for the Rosary. The fourth promise, the Rosary will cause virtue and good works to flourish. It will obtain for souls the abundant mercy of God. It will withdraw the hearts of men from the love of the world and its vanities, and will lift them up to the desire for eternal things. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means. As we move along through the promises that Our Lady offers, I can't help but recognize how biblical the Virgin Mary is. The Virgin Mary is telling us the rosary which she prays with us and for us, that virtue and good works will flourish. Psalm 11:7 states, the Lord is just and loves just deeds. The upright will seek his face. Our Lady is clearly promising that we will see God face to face and live. Through the rosary, we are being transformed to a high degree and our good works will be made manifest. James 2:14-17 states, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to him, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well. But if you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself, it does not have works, it is dead. What Our Lady is really saying is that we are being offered life through the merits of the rosary, and in the rosary, we are delving into the mysteries of our Catholic faith. The rosary will foster strength into the sacraments and live out faith daily. Our Lady is clearly promising that we will see God face to face and live. Through the rosary, we are being transformed to a high degree, and our good works will be made manifest. James 2:14-17 states, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? Can the faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, one of you says to him, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, if you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What Our Lady is really saying is that we are being offered life through the merits of the rosary. In the rosary, we are delving into the mysteries of our Catholic faith. The rosary will foster strength into the sacraments and live out in the living out of faith daily. How will the rosary obtain abundant mercy from God? There can be countless ways God can offer his mercy, but for me, the devotion of the rosary will strengthen the believer against sin and vice. The sacrament of reconciliation is the way of life for the Christian. The sacrament of reconciliation is the mercy seat, the place where you confess your sins and the Lord forgives you, throwing those sins into the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more. In this great sacrament, you are given a judgment of mercy. through the practice of the sacraments, the Holy Spirit will wound our hearts to have a desire for the love of God. None of us is perfect, but the rosary will aid us to get a high state of perfection. We will be lifted for the desire for eternal things. The Virgin Mary is capable, through the power of God, to take us to a deep place in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. There again, we receive his rich mercy. God's word touches the eternal soul of man through the power of his eternal love. Psalm 136, 1 to 26 puts an exclamation point on God's love, stating, God's love endures forever, 26 times in the chapter. Can you feel Our Lady's deep desire that the people will respond and dedicate themselves to the rosary that will aid us in the process of sanctification? 2 Thessalonians 2:13 states, for we ought to give thanks to God for you always, brothers loved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits of salvation to sanctification by the Holy Spirit and belief in truth. Sanctification relates to the making of saints. It makes us holy, setting us apart. Eucharistic miracle of Offida, Italy of 1273. It seems that the Eucharistic miracle begins when newlywed had to work within reality. The husband Giacomo was spending more time with his mule than with his wife, who felt somewhat neglected. Working in the fields with his mule, Giacomo may be seen today as a workaholic. Officia is not too far from the Laziano miracle of the 7th century. The miracle of Offida begins in Laziano in the year 1273. When the newly married Stasio felt it necessary to utilize the services of the town witch in order to rekindle the affection of her husband. The witch told her that in order to fix her marriage, she should receive the Holy Communion, but not consume the consecrated host. She should then take the host home, burn it into a powder over her fire, and place the ashes into her husband's food or drink. In other words, she should commit a sacrilege and desecrate the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord. That's something no one should ever do. For some reason, she did what the witch told her to do. She placed the consecrated host she had received at Holy Communion on a tile and held it over the fire. Instead of turning to powder, the outside portion of the host turned into flesh and began to bleed. The center of the host retained its original form. Panicking, she took wax and dirt and threw it over the host to try to cover the blood, but the blood seeped through the dirt. So she covered the host with a linen tablecloth decorated with silk embroidery and lace. She then buried this in the stable in the corner of the barn under the dung heap of the mule. From that time on, whenever Giacomo brought the mule into the barn, the mule would genuflect toward the manure pile in the corner. Getting the mule into the barn was an undertaking in itself. Giacomo knew something was up, as even all the other animals, birds, ducks, and geese, goats, pigs, would pause as to react to the corner of the barn towards the dung heap. This went on for several years. She may not have had the spirituality of St. Anthony, but I love the kneeling mule. She lived with this grave sin for 7 years. Finally, she could no longer stand the torment that her action had brought her, and she confessed to the priest of the local Augustinian monastery in Luciano. Riccella and the friar went to the stable and dug up the host. When they uncovered the host, they found that it was intact and appeared as it had 7 years earlier. Since the Augustinian friar was a native of Offida, Italy, America was deemed property of Offidia. A craftsman in Venice fashioned a cross-shaped reliquary to hold the sacred relic. Today, the reliquaries of the tile, the blood-stained linen, and the cross containing the miraculous host are exposed in St. Augustine's church in Offidia. Ricciello's house in Luciana was made into a small chapel. Every year on May 3rd, citizens of Offidia celebrate the anniversary of that miracle. In 1788, Giovanni Battista Doria authenticated a parchment from the 13th century describing the miracle. There are also papal bulls from Pope Boniface VIII, 1295, and Pope Sixtus V, 1585, that describe the miracle. God from time to time sometimes intervenes in an extraordinary way at any given moment to any person. He certainly does that at every time the sacrifice of the Mass is celebrated. Thursday of the fifth week of Easter. Our first reading is from Acts 15, verses 7 through 21, and we have a musical interlude. Acts 15, 7 through 21. After much debate had taken place, Peter got up and said to the apostles and the presbyters, "My brothers, you are well aware that from early days God made his choice among you that through my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of God and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness by granting them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. He made no distinction between us and them. By faith he purified their hearts. Why then are you now putting God to the test by placing on the shoulders of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they." The whole assembly fell silent, and they listened while Paul and Barnabas described the signs and wonders God had worked through the Gentiles through them. After they had fallen silent, James responded, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has described God first concerned himself with acquiring from among the Gentiles a people for his name. The words of the prophet agree with this, as it is written, 'After this I shall return and rebuild the faith and rebuild the fallen hut of David. From its ruins I shall rebuild it and raise it up again, so that the rest of humanity and they seek out the Lord, even all the Gentiles on whom my name is invoked. Thus says the Lord, who accomplishes all these things known from of old. It is my judgment, therefore, that we ought to stop troubling the Gentiles who turn to God, but tell them by letter to avoid pollution from idols, unlawful marriage, the meat of strange animals and blood. For Moses, for generations now, he had these who proclaim him in every town, as he has been read in the synagogues every Sabbath. These pastoral psalms proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations. Announce his salvation day after day. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples, his wondrous deeds. Proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. He has made the world firm, not to be moved. He governs the people with equity. Proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them, and they follow me. The gospel is John 15:9-11. Jesus said to his disciples, as the Father loves me, so also I love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. And now our saint of the day, St. Ignatius of Lyona. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. Our saint of the day is St. Ignatius of Lyona. He was the second of seven children of peasant parents in Sardinia. His path to the Franciscans was unusual. During a serious illness, Ignatius vowed to become a Capuchin. He regained his health, but ignored the promise. When he was 20, a riding accident prompted Ignatius to renew the pledge, which he acted on the second time. Ignatius' reputation for self-denial and charity led to his appointment as the official beggar for the friars in Caligria. He fulfilled that task for 40 years, despite being blind the last 2 years. Ignatius' reputation for self-denial and charity led to his appointment as the official beggar for the friars in Caligria. He fulfilled that task for 40 years, despite being blind for the last 2 years. While on his rounds, Ignatius would instruct the children, visit the sick, and urge sinners to repent. He was known for his strict and total obedience to his superiors, even when it required the denial of his own will. He would not go to the house of a certain usher, because he feared that in accepting alms from the man, he would share the guilt of his injustices. But when the man complained, his superior ordered him to accept alms from him. However, when he returned to the friary and opened the sack with the alms the usher had offered, blood started flowing out. While on his rounds, Ignatius would instruct the children, visit the sick, and urge sinners to repent. The people of Caligria were inspired by his kindness and his faithfulness to his work. Ignatius was canonized in 1951. Why did the people of Caligria support the friars? The followers of Francis worked hard, but rarely a job that paid enough to live on. The life of Ignatius reminds us that everything God considers worthwhile does not have a high-paying salary attached to it. He mingled with all the people he met and was generous towards those who were ill. But he became known as a wonder worker, and it was claimed that he had performed 121 miracles during his life, with an additional 86 reported after his death. St. Ignatius was beatified on 16 June 1940, and he was canonized in 1951, and his remains were entered into Caligria. There are two miracles attributed to him occurred after his death. St. Ignatius is known as the patron saint for beggars and students. Despite poor health and infirmities, he continued his work, however arduous. Even after he became blind in 1779, he continued to work for the benefit of those around him. He died on 11 May 1781 at 3 p.m. in Cagliari, where his remains were interred. He was beatified on 16 June 1940 and was canonized later in 1951. His body in Cagliari is still incorrupt. And that is our saint of the day. Presenting from Deeper Truth, the saint of the day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the saint of the day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
No, but they're sure going to bless.
Well, what a great saint this was. Just because of all his life was serving and helping others.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, this song I'm going to play is in honor of our saint of the day. That's rose-colored stained glass windows. And so many people just kind of don't want to get involved.
You remember the story of Kitty Genovese, don't you?
No.
She was gunned down trying to get into her apartment in New York City.
Oh.
And the problem was that 34 people saw it, and nobody chose to get involved.
Wow. That certainly wasn't St. Ignatius of Laconi. You know, that was his mind to get involved, to help others wherever he can. Good.
Kitty Genovese, if we used somebody like him, she'd still be alive.
Perhaps, exactly. Yeah. Well, Mike, thank you again. And so tomorrow, we shall do this again.
Oh, absolutely.
So, what did you think about the Eucharistic miracle today?
That was quite a miracle.
All the animals.
You know, you think about that. And where did she hide the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ? She hid it in a dung pile.
Yeah.
And too many times, there are people who put him there today.
Yeah.
He doesn't belong there. Not by a long shot.
No, he doesn't. Belongs in your heart.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, so God bless you, Mike. God bless all those out there in the deeper truth realm. And so, thank you. And Mike, take care of that cold. Take care of that, because...
Oh, we'll work.
But it becomes part of the show. You know, it's okay.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. We'll see you everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have a wonderful day.
Well, you know, when
folks,
you do that,
you have a wonderful day too.
Yeah, I plan to. But when you do that, though, you remind me of young Frankenstein. He sounded a little
young
bit like
Frankenstein.
That. Yeah, the movie. Yeah, he would. He'd make that. He'd do that. So. I can't help but chuckle. All right, well, God bless you. I know what it is when you're trying to clear your throat. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Same bad time, same bad station.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, God bless you. And everybody out there.